Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The sermon text for today is the gospel lesson recorded in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13. I'm going to read verse 51. Jesus said to them, "Did you understand all these things?" They answered him, "Yes." And we pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, what a find. Have you ever heard anyone use that expression before? What a find. Maybe your neighbor said that to you after you visited a rummage sale in the neighborhood and found a piece of artwork and purchased it for $2. You brought it home and your neighbor met you in the driveway and said, "Wow, what a find." Or maybe a wife said that to her husband after her husband went to the Kohl's store and shopped at the 90% off rack and found an ugly shirt and brought it home and put it on. And the wife said to the husband, "Wow, what a find." Or sometimes that phrase is used for people as well. A young lady has a new boyfriend and she introduces her boyfriend to her gal pals. And the girls very quickly realize that this young man has some fine qualities about him. And so they say to their friend, "How did you discover such a find?" In Matthew chapter 13, Jesus tells seven different parables, and some are rather short. But the parables all pertain to the kingdom of God and what the kingdom of God is like. And at the end of telling all of these parables, Jesus asked his disciples, "Do you guys get it? Do you understand?" And they answered in the affirmative, "Yes, absolutely." Well, maybe this morning, on Sunday morning, we will take a little bit more humble approach to these parables, and we will ask God the Holy Spirit to give us insight and understanding into the words of Jesus as he tries to teach us some truths about what the kingdom of God is like. And so let's do that this morning by using the theme, what a find. What a find, first of all, treasure. On November 4th, 2001, a man who lived in McHenry, Illinois, up in the northern part of Illinois, an unemployed carpenter by the name of Wayne Sabage, decided to go out to his dad's garden to pick some broccoli. When he got to the garden, he noticed that there were two plastic bags in the garden. And after he opened up the plastic bags, he discovered that they contained $150,000. Unfortunately, Wayne died 2 years later, and during those 2 years, there was a lot of dispute about to whom the money belonged. The neighbor lady said it was hers. The liquor store in town said it belonged to them. It was part of a robbery. Well, the first man Jesus describes in our text is kind of like Wayne. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Sometimes in life, people stumble across Jesus. They're not really looking for him, but all of a sudden, there he is. They find him in the pages of Scripture. They learn about him, that he is a Savior who loves a Savior who forgives, a Savior who promises the gift of eternal life. And when they stumble across him, they very quickly realize that he is the greatest treasure, the treasure of their soul, and they are willing to give up everything in order to have him. I think this was what Jesus was trying to impress upon the disciples in Matthew chapter 19. Take up your cross, give up everything. And Peter said, "We have left everything to follow you, Jesus." I mean, Peter was kind of exasperated. We've given up everything to follow you, Jesus. But Jesus says, you know what? That's a good thing. Because by giving up everything, then you can have the greatest treasure, which is me. Back in the year 2014, the Discovery Channel aired a show called Game of Stones. And it featured a gem hunter by the name of Don Kogan. And so for one season, the show followed Don around the world. He was in search of precious gems. And when he and his team found a precious gem, they pulled out all of the stops in order to purchase that precious gem. The second parable sounds like Don. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. Okay, so this parable is different from the first because this find is no accidental find. The pearl merchant is searching. He's out there looking. He wants to find the perfect pearl, the one with perfect shape, a good surface, color and size, and luster. And like the first guy, when he finds that pearl, he sells everything he has in order to possess it. And so I guess you could say that this second guy is kind of like the person who realizes that they have a hole in their heart. They realize that they have a need for a Savior, and so they search the pages of books, and they listen to different philosophers, and they listen to shamans and to gurus, but then they find Jesus in the pages of Scripture and realize that in him they have everything that they need, kind of like that Ethiopian eunuch. Remember, he was reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah, and Philip the evangelist explained what the passage was speaking about, that it was speaking about Christ and his payment for sin. The Ethiopian eunuch found Christ in the pages of Scripture. And when that happens, nothing else matters in life other than possessing Christ. So the lesson to be learned is quite simple. If Jesus is our priceless treasure, then we will be willing to give up everything in order to possess him. What a fine treasure. Now Jesus moves to a second picture. What a find, a catch. Jesus tells the parable of the gnat. I'm sure that the ears of the disciples perked up. After all, some of them used to be professional fishermen. And Jesus tells these parables on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. Jesus said, "Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in the basket, but threw the bad away." So in our terms, in the net you would find walleyes and perch. But in the same net, you would also find bullheads and carp. The parable reminds me of the calling of Peter and Andrew as disciples. In Mark chapter 1, we're told that they were fishing on the shores of the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus said, "Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And you'll remember that during his ministry, Jesus twice gave a miraculous catch of fish to impress upon those disciples that their new job was now to cast out not a net made of string, but instead to cast out the net of the gospel. Now Jesus explains the parable. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the blazing fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So now Jesus identifies the fish as two different kinds of people, the wicked and the righteous. So when the net of the gospel is cast out, people are gathered by that net and are attracted to Christianity, but some believe and some do not. And so the righteous are those who have the righteousness of Christ by faith, and the wicked are those who are gathered by the net of the gospel, but ultimately do not believe. You are the righteous. You are the people who have Christ's righteousness by faith, as Paul writes in Romans chapter 3. But now a righteousness from God apart from the law has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. What a find, a catch. Many are called, but few are chosen. Well, finally, what a find, a storehouse. He said to them, "Therefore, every teacher of the law who has become a disciple in the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old." Part of the reason that we gather here at St. Andrew's on a Sunday morning is to hear the old, old story, the story of Jesus and his love. And in the Lutheran Church, we follow something called the Christian Church Year. And during the festival half of the Christian Church Year, we review saving truths like Jesus' birth, his life, his death, his resurrection, his ascent into heaven, his promise to come back someday. And that's a good thing. And when we make use of our Christian creeds, like we did this morning using the Nicene Creed, what are we doing? We are using the old story. We're reviewing the old story, and that is a good thing, and that is necessary so that the foundation of our faith can be refreshed and rebuilt and remain strong so that it does not erode. And you know that only if you have a good foundation can you then build your life upon it. I think this is probably one of the problems with modern-day evangelicalism. The evangelicals just want to dismiss the old, ignore it, and move on with the new. No, what's found in the storehouse of God's mercy, both the old and the new. But if that's all that a teacher of God's word does is bring out of God's storehouse the old, then things will get stale. And so a good teacher of the law is going to bring out of God's storehouse the new, because there are so many wonderful saving truths found in that storehouse, yet undiscovered. I have to tell you that as a retired pastor, one of the highest compliments that I can receive after a service is someone saying, "Pastor, I learned something new today." And sometimes that new thing that we learn is right under our noses. It's right there, just waiting to be found. Let me give you an example. Some religious leaders called the Sadducees, who did not believe in the resurrection, tried to trap Jesus. And Jesus answered their question, and then he said this to them, "Have you not read what God said to you? I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And they knew that. That's part of the old story. Every Jewish man and woman knew that. Oh, we worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then Jesus revealed something new and amazing to them. He said, He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Well, they had never thought of that. They never realized that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are alive and that they are awaiting the resurrection of the dead. I have to tell you that I discovered a new treasure about a week ago. I was reading Acts chapter 6, and in verse 7, it says that after the seven deacons were chosen in order to make sure that both the Greek widows and the Jewish widows were fed and that the apostles could focus their attention on the preaching of the word, then in verse 7, it says, a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. I've read that passage many times, but suddenly from that old passage, something new came. What was true about the priests at the temple? Well, they had many different jobs, but one of the jobs that they had was to serve as health inspectors. So if somebody came to the temple and said, I used to have leprosy, and now I don't have leprosy, the priests would put this person through like an 8-day cleansing ceremony. But the priests never did this. And here's why. Nobody was ever cleansed of leprosy. Once you got it, you always had it until it took your life. But then suddenly, the temple courts are flooded with people who are claiming that they at one time were lepers, but now they were clean. And sometimes they came at 9 or 10 at a time. Remember, Jesus cleansed the 10 lepers. What did he say to them? He said, go show yourselves to the priests. So all of a sudden, the temple courtyard is flooded with former lepers. Man, that must have made such an impression on those priests that eventually many of them came to faith. There you have it. Something new from something old. God has given to you the Holy Scriptures, this massive storehouse, so that you might pull out of it old treasures as well as new. Because his mercies are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. What a find, a storehouse filled with old treasures as well as new. A May 17th, 1987 edition of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution reported on a man named Rob Cutshaw. Rob liked to go around and search for rocks. And if he found one that he thought was valuable, he would take it to a jeweler and try to sell it for a couple of $100. Well, 10 years earlier, Rob was out looking for rocks, and he found one that he called Big and Purdy. Took it to a jeweler. Jeweler said, I don't want it. Took it to another jeweler. The jeweler said, forget it. It's not worth anything. So Rob took that rock and he shoved it in his closet. Well, years later, it turns out that that rock became known as the Star of David, a sapphire, the largest, most valuable sapphire ever found, worth millions and millions of dollars. And you know, sometimes that happens. The find goes unfound. But not with Jesus. What is true about Jesus? He's like the guy in the second parable who purposely came into this world to seek and to save. He purposely came into this world to find you. And when he found you, what did he do for you? He gave up everything for you. He gave up heaven. He gave up his blood. He gave up his life to make you his own. And what else did he do? He cast out the net of the gospel into your life so that you could be brought into the kingdom of God. And what else does he do for you? He opens up this massive storehouse that is filled with the treasures of his mercy and love, both old and new. In a wonderful twist of grace, the Savior this morning points to you and declares, "What a find." Amen.